Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, saints. This is the Product Purpose Kingdom Network, and this is the show, Self-Expressions, and I am your host, Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson. First, let me thank everybody for welcoming me in your house tonight. And, I hope you've told a friend or a family member that we're on tonight. And if not, just take the time out to just text someone and just let someone know that that I'm on tonight, and let's just have a good time. First, if you're listening online, let me just tell you there is a phone number you can call in. If you're online and you want to call into the show, just to give a comment, question, concern, or just to listen to the show via phone, that phone number is 319-527-6091. And if you're a T-Mobile or Metro customer, you can call in at 323-870-4174. Anytime you want to join the conversation, just hit the number one. And tonight, one of the scriptures that we're going to be going over is going to be for tonight's topic. And tonight's topic is, with great power comes great responsibility. And once again, this is Self-Expression, the sports edition. And our scripture that I'm going to focus in on is Isaiah chapter 30, 19 to 22. And it is it's a scripture that pertains to what I'm going to be talking about sports-wise. Before I go, any further about, any of the sports, just want to give you a reminder that I will be in tomorrow night at 8:30 p.m. tomorrow, with Self-Expressions, the regular edition of Self-Expressions. So please feel free to join me tomorrow night, same time. Also, I just, in tomorrow's show, because this is the Self-Expression Sports Edition, I will be focusing on sports, and if I have time later on in the show, I'll go into what I've talked to you guys about. I shared with you a while back, about a month or so, is that I have a Christmas album coming out. And we'll go over the Christmas album, and that Christmas album is out now. So we'll talk about that, and we'll go over the details later on in tonight's show, or we can go in, like I said, we'll go into good details about that Christmas album I have coming out. And that's going to be either later on in the show if we have time to talk about it. Or, like I said, tomorrow evening we'll have time to go over it tomorrow evening. So, now getting back to what we're talking about. Now, the topic is, with great power comes great responsibility. And I'm going to focus on two incidents that happened about also about a month or so. One involving the Philadelphia 76ers, Joel Embiid, and the other one was involving the Cleveland Browns defensive end, Myles Garrett. Now, it was a major incident, and also this is one of the incidents that, both the sports, the NBA and pro football. Now, every once in a while, there's major incidents that happens in sports, usually that define and also refine a major rule change. And one of the reasons why we get major rule changes in any of the major league sports is the conduct of the players. And no matter what the circumstances is, these both entities, the NBA and the NFL, they are entities, as I say. And what it is that one person or one team is not greater than the whole of the league or that the source of the league. So, in other words, they expect each and every one of the players in their respective leagues to behave or act at a certain level. So we'll go over the incidents and like I said, it was about a month or so ago, but these are defining incidents. Okay, so now for a quick overview, and as I was saying, sports is for one thing, is entertainment value. So what it is, you know, basically we have our regular TV with, you know, with the sports and the respective networks that they broadcast on. Basically, those networks, they profile basically as sex and violence. That's what has basically taken over our programming on so many of the major networks like HBO, Stars, AMC, BET, and so on and so forth. And when we want to watch sports, you know, basically the average fan, they want to watch sports and sports exclusively. And if you want to watch violent sports, well, you know, we do have something called the UFC. And the UFC, where they have basically almost a no-holds-barred atmosphere with sports, with the exception of certain rules as far as eye pokes, you know, hit and blow the belt, things of that nature, or, you know, or biting and you know, something like that. So, yes, there is a up, you know, there is a more violent, you know, sport that can be watched. And, you know, for some, it's a little too much. And like I said, you know, a lot of these networks, they know what they're broadcasting. And if you notice that, you know, UFC, when it is broadcasted either via pay-per-view or exclusive sports stations that have, you know, kickboxing, regular boxing, the more so of the violent sports. So, you know, basically the way it is, and the way the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and any other professional organization, they know that any of their listeners, if they want to watch, you know, any upscale violence, you know, besides the product they're putting out on it, they know that they have an avenue to watch it. So their product has no need for that level of violence. So the first, you know, incident with Joel Embiid, and I was involved with Joel Embiid and Carl Anthony Towns. And Carl Anthony Towns is a member of the Minnesota Timberwolves, and Joel Embiid is a member of the 76ers. Now, Joel Embiid was suspended for 3 games, and Carl Anthony Towns was respectively suspended for 3 games also for, you know, taking a swing at Joel Embiid, and it was truly a bench-clearing incident where multiple people could have been, you know, involved and seriously hurt. Fortunately for both parties, you know, no one was injured, and everybody that came off the bench was actually acting as peacekeepers. So, you know, no further suspension or fines was given. Just Joel Embiid and Carl Anthony Towns were ejected from that game, and you know, respectively, they were suspended for 3 games. Now you say, well, you know, basketball, that's a bunch of trash talk. You know, we get a lot of people, you know, talking trash, you know, in basketball. That's one of the most physical sports that, you know, that is broadcasted, you know, throughout, where it is a physical game where, you know, you're pretty much, you know, up face to face almost every play. The thing here is that Joel Embiid was the true instigator of everything, you know, whether no matter what was said, we don't know what was said. The only thing we know is that the reaction call Anthony Towns was to take a swing at Joel Embiid. And we know Joel Embiid, you know, through just, you know, watching, you know, the game, was that he was in his ears and he was elbowing him whatever he could. And he was taking, you know, little petty, you know, swipes at him, which is, you know, through most games we see that happen from time to time, where you have players, you know, pelly, you know, just, you know, trying to agitate a player. And that was the best way to describe it. That Joel Embiid was a true agitator in this whole incident. So one of the things that the NBA did was, normally, since no one was hurt and, you know, no one, you know, no fists got connected, they wanted to send a message first to Carl Anthony Towns. That message was, you're going to lose money taking a swing like that. Even though you're not one of the major superstars in the NBA, we just want to let you know that that's not going to be tolerated. Okay, so you know when you get used three games worth of paychecks, you know your eyes are you know you're gonna start paying attention. Okay, so also Joel Embiid was suspended for three games, and also fined a small amount. Now the reason why Joel Embiid got that suspension and also that fine was because of him. Not only, you know, not so long ago, before last season ended, Joel Embiid was almost at the point of where he was going to become the face of the NBA. You know, had he won or, you know, was able to get to the finals last year, you know, along with his team, you know, he would have been this season that is ongoing right now. He would have been the face of the NBA. He tweets a lot and he does a lot of things. To me, it seems he's a lot childish and a lot immature, but it was kind of cute last season because he was growing into his own, and he was on his way to become a major superstar. Now, not so much. So right now, it's you know the tolerance phase of his antics, especially with you know the NBA and the commissioner. Right now, they're at the point where they're not. They're no longer going to tolerate it. They're watching him pretty much under a microscope. So, you know, and that goes to the point of great. With great power comes great responsibility. You know, if you're going to become the face of a whole entity as far as the NBA, and you behave and you act a certain way, which is not acceptable. You know, and once you get, you know, to that stature, you know, the NBA surely has a way of. You know, moving your way, you know, endorsement deals. So with that incident, not only was he fined and lost money, Joel Embiid lost the opportunity of endorsements. Because if you happen to become the face of the NBA, which he was almost on his way last season, and the difference between last season, like I said, and this season is it was he had a fresh image and a fresh energy to the NBA. He added that dimension to the NBA where the NBA was willing to you know, get behind him and let endorsement deals come in the way and let him slowly work his way into becoming the face of the NBA. Whereas now he's had a couple of incidents, and this is not the only incident of him agitating certain players. So his antics pretty much cost him, you know, endorsement deals and him, you know, becoming the face of the NBA. And I'm not saying that he won't have another opportunity, but at this point right now, he needs to grow to a level of maturity. And we're going to go into we'll get back to Joel Embiid, but we're going to go back to the next incident that I just want to go over with everybody. And this one seems to be a 50-50 even down the fence, and that was the incident with Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph. Now, Myles Garrett is a defensive end for the Cleveland Browns. And Mason Garrett is the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, if you want to know what the difference is between Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph, it's almost pretty much the same. Myles Garrett is he's almost becoming, you know, one of the faces. Now, the funny thing about the NFL is they don't usually have one face for the NFL. They have faces because they have 32 teams, and the fan base is, you know, pretty much off the charts for each and every one of those teams. Each and every one of those teams, no matter how bad an NFL team is, each team has a waiting list of thousands of people waiting for season tickets or just game tickets for that matter. So the NFL was wildly popular, more popular so than the NBA. And Myles Garrett was a high draft pick, great talent for the Cleveland Browns. Actually turned around that, you know, one of the low output defensive units into one of the better performing outputs as far as, you know, as far as defense in the NFL. And so the Cleveland Browns were actually trying to, you know, become one of the elite teams with Myles Garrett. They were well on their way. They have a rivalry with the Pittsburgh Steelers, which a lot of teams have rivalries with other teams. Now, the difference between Mason Rudolph was the starting quarterback due to injury. So he's basically a backup that's in a star role. Mason Rudolph, he did pretty much what Joel Embiid did. He antagonized Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett throughout the game, you know, was, you know, he's actually, his job is actually to stack him because he's the quarterback. In the process of him, you know, being frustrated when they had blocking schemes to just basically take him out the game. And just to add another dimension, you know, Mason Rudolph was just talking trash to him. Almost at the end of the game, Myles Garrett managed to, you know, get a hold of Mason Rudolph. And, you know, and just as almost as if it was scripted, he pulled his helmet off and whacked him across the head. Same thing happened that happened where with the Joel Embiid incident, that nobody was hurt majorly. He didn't even suffer concussion, which is amazing in that point. He got suspended, and it was just through his the over antics. And this is the reason why you want to, you know, people jokingly call the NFL the no fun league. This is why the NFL wants to curb the taunting and things of that nature, because it sometimes, even the best of the best, even the, some of the superstars will lose their composure. I mean, I know at this point in his career, Tom Brady has seen everything, but there's a, you know, there's almost not one instance in his career where he lost his composure, as well as you can say over hundreds of players, where no matter what the circumstances is, because they knew that they were held to a higher standard. And yes, we are also held to a higher standard. And that's the reason why I wanted to bring up these incidents, because these incidents, they do reflect life. They do reflect, even though we use the sports, the entertainment, the very entertainment of sports to get away from what we go through in everyday life, we also are placed in the same situations where at some point or some degree that we are held to a higher standard, whether it's professionally, personally, or spiritually. We are held at some point to a higher standard, whereas though the reactions and actions that we take affect others, especially around the influence, especially if we're, you know, we're encouraging, you know, one another, if we're encouraging new Christians, if we're encouraging new fellowship, and, you know, we act one way, and, you know, we you know, when you're going on, you know, and like I said, it's basically missionary work as far as when you're doing, when you're, you know, you're doing fellowship, when you're, you know, trying to get a membership drive for your church, and I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, but sometimes, you know, that new fresh, you know, fellowship that you have inside the walls of the church, you know, it's important when you see that look of that, you know, someone from the outside when they're deciding whether they're going to join, you know, join the congregation or not. Sometimes that fresh outlook and that fresh look is, you know, after the first service, you say, hi, what do you think? Or, you know, how you like the service? Things like that, with that fresh output, that's helpful. Especially a fresh member, you know, that has joined the congregation, that new outlook is very important. That's a fresh take on, you know, what's going on in your congregation. And that's what we rely on. So it's like, you know, someone that has, you know, invited a member, and then, you know, they enjoy the service, and then after service, you know, they go out for a couple of drinks or something like that. You know, and you know, the first thing someone would say was, oh, wow, I thought, you know, I met you outside of these walls, and then we get inside the walls, and, you know, we're praising them, and then we walk out. And it's a whole different atmosphere when you get, your fellow congregants, and here we're praising the Lord, and then outside we're raising all kind of, you know, all kinds of hell. And that happens. And just want everybody to know that this is the 1,060th episode of Perfect Scale Network. I thank each and every one of you for joining us tonight. And if any time you're online and you want to call in, that phone number to call in is 319-527-6091. And if you're a T-Mobile or Metro customer, you can call in at 323-870-4174. And just to, you know, as far as, like I said, with you know, those two players in their two respective leagues. Now, the thing about them being held to a higher standard, and like I said, is we reflect in our jobs and our everyday livelihood. Now, the thing about our, you know, the things that we do in our livelihood is not to the degree of what they do and what they represent in respective leagues. And, you know, we can see ourselves, and that's the reason why I wanted to bring up both incidents, especially the Myles Garrett incident, because we can easily place ourselves in the shoes of those athletes, and we can choose a side and say, hey, the guy was totally wrong, and I don't know why this guy is getting suspended. But we can hold up and do, and we can take a scenario from what an everyday job is. Now, let's say you have the duties of being a custodian, and your duties is to mop the entire hallway. And your duties, you know, you have what you have to do. You know, you have your mop, your bucket, you have your signs. You place the signs, and you just try to do, you know, I would just assume you would try to do that job in probably sections where you have a section where people can walk, and you have a section where you're cleaning. You're properly cleaning, you let it dry, and then you move on to the next section, and, you know, and so on and so forth. But who's to say the guy that's mopping the floor, and he has the signs up, and people walk anyway where he's mopped at. And these people are constantly walking over where he mopped at. Is it okay for him to turn that mop bucket over and go over upside somebody's head? No, it's not. And it's the same thing. With like I said, you can place yourself easily in Myles Garrett's shoes because you can say, I've mopped this floor, and I've had all the proper signs up that says, caution, wet floor, do not walk, walk to the left. Mopping is going on the right. And here's somebody that comes walking carelessly on their phone, probably, or not even paying attention, walking, because they're, you know, in robotic mode where they just normally walk that way and not thinking about watching out for signs, not watching out for wet floors, and coming from out the outside and most likely, messing up someone's work that they probably have to do over again. And so, yes, we can actually put ourselves in his shoes as far as how he felt. But like I said, in the same turn, it would be highly unexpected for someone to just turn the mop bucket over on top of somebody's head because they're walking on the floor. They, you know, messed up a portion or some sort of degree of what he, you know, was hoping to achieve, which was to, you know, remain, have a floor that was spotless or clean. Same thing we can say with, you know, airline pilot. If he's having a bad day or if his wife left him or his wife cheated on him or something, you know, is it okay for him to just say, hey, you know what, I'm through, and just, you know, with all those souls on that plane, just let the controls go and let it crash into the ground or wherever. It is not expected of the pilot to do that. You know, I know pilots and, you know, everybody of all kinds of nature, you know, they go through stressful things, but this is the situation and this is the reason why the employers employ these type of people, because of their bad day could be a very bad day for everybody else. You know, you have to understand that some things and some attitudes and some of the way that people carry on is not acceptable. So to the pilot, whether you're an airline pilot or you're somebody mopping the floor, you know, certain attitudes and aspects of your attitude is not acceptable. It's not acceptable in society. It's not acceptable in sports. And it's not acceptable in the eyes of God, to tell you the truth. And I'm going to just go over, and I said we had a scripture, that a couple of scriptures that we're going to go over. And it was Isaiah 19 and 22. And I'm just going to go over them real quick. Okay, and it reads, oh, yes, people of Zion, citizens of Jerusalem, your time of tears is over. Cry for help, and you'll find its grace and more grace. The moment he hears, he'll answer. Just as the master kept you alive during the hard times, he'll keep your teacher alive and present among you. Your teacher will be right there, local and on the job, urging you on whatever you wander left or right. This is the right road. Walk down this road. You'll scrap your expensive and fashionable God images. You'll throw them in the trash so as so much garbage, saying, good riddance. Now, in that chapter, you know, it says a lot. It says a lot. And if one was to, you know, carry from 19 to 22, there would be no worries as far as how you're feeling and what is expected of you. What is expected of you, and the reference to teacher was, it was me, not as a teacher, like a school teacher. It was like a rabbi, a priest, or a minister. So basically, as you have your dire time and needs, basically your spiritual leader will be available to you for you to actually get comfort spiritually. So, you know, yes, these athletes and as these athletes, and just like us, we do have spiritual leaders. You know, if we have them, you know, firmly placed in our life, that's a question that you have to answer. But they are available, whether we listen to them or whether or not. You know, this is all about choices. It's a choices about whether, you know, we get comfort from our spiritual leaders. If we have truly comfort from our spiritual leaders, when we find ourselves in those situations, yes, frustrating times, yes, the thought of, you know, acting certain ways and we should not act or things that we should not do, yes, those thoughts come across us, but actually carrying out actions, that's what we be going to the category of, oh, ye of little faith. And yes, you know, there are times where, even though it is said that all we need is the faith of a mustard seed, sometimes we don't even draw on that, and we just go into the deep end. And when, you know, like I said, we're going into and this is a sports aspect of religion, and like I said, sports is an outlet from our everyday life. But it's so, you know, we get so much identified with a lot of the sports figures. And like I said, with the Myles Garrett thing, you know, it seemed to go 50-50, and everybody understands the Mason Rudolph part, whereas that we have that every day I have a mouth, you know, God gave me a mouth, I can say what I want to say. But, you know, yes, you can say what you want to say, and yes, this is, in this country, one of the models of this country is freedom of speech. You have a right to say what you want. But also, as we know, you know, with the government, you know, you can say what you want to say, but in a second, you know, in a different hints, you better watch what you say. So, yes, we do have the people that feel as though that the Mason Rudolph had a right to say whatever he wanted to say, and Myles Garrett acted inappropriately by, you know, responding to what he said. You know, they said, well, he has a mouth. He could have said, well, he's back to him. But, you know, sometimes you can't fight fire with fire. And if, you know, if we truly, you know, understand the whole incident, I mean, we wasn't there. We saw the incident. But, you know, Myles Garrett probably, you know, wasn't as witty as, you know, Mason Rudolph, maybe. Maybe, you know, Mason Rudolph was just one of those times. I know every once in a while, you know, when we are adolescents or, you know, even children, where, you know, we get into the busing game, we bustle each other's mom, and there's one guy is just, you know, wildly out of control and so funny, and it's like no matter what kind of comeback you have, you have no comeback. And that could have happened in that incident. But it's the same thing with Mason Randolph. Because you have a mouth doesn't mean that you can say whatever you want to say with it without consequences. I'm not saying by any way that Myles Garrett, acting accordingly, you know, did the right thing, or, you know, I'm in his corner. No, I'm not in neither one of these guys' corner, because neither one of these guys acted accordingly as they should as far as their stature, because it is a privilege to play in NFL, no matter what position. Punters, and kickers, which are some of the lowly looked at, you know, athletes, and they are athletes in the NFL, because neither you or I can do what they do day in and day out on a daily basis. Just as well as any other position. I couldn't play the position of quarterback or defensive end as well as Mason Randolph or Myles Garrett. But, you know, as in these guys find themselves in situations We can identify with either one of them. Like I said, it seems to be, no matter whose opinion is, it's down split 50-50 on who is right and who is wrong. But the NFL, I think, clearly, is a little bit heavy-handed on Myles Garrett. That's the only part where I say, I would feel sorry about Myles Garrett. But, with great power comes great responsibility. If you are becoming the face of an entity like the NFL and they feel as though you dropped the ball, basically they are your employers and you have to be at their mercy and punishment of, if they feel as though the punishment fits the crime. Which is, one of the good part about being an NFL player, they do have a players league and they have representatives and they have guys that will, file an appeal on his behalf. Myles Garrett, with the talent he has, the NFL is not going to throw him away. So even though he is under the title of being suspended indefinitely, don't feel sorry for him because we won't see the last of Myles Garrett. Like I said, at some point or one point, he will be working his way back into being the face of the NFL. And that's just simply the nature of, the beast of corporate entities like the NFL. And like I said, everyday life, we have people that work at Fortune 500 companies. And, Fortune 500 companies are all over the world. And, yes, we do see the, suspensions and things of that nature gets acted out sometimes accordingly, sometimes heavy-handed. And that's just the nature of, being employed. And you have to, at some point, make sure that you, please your employer. If not, you're at the mercies. And that's why, as Christians, no matter where we at and what we're doing, we have to make sure we reflect our Christian qualities. Because if we reflect our Christian qualities, there will be no way we'll face dilemmas and situations where at the mercy of a corporation. This is the reason why, we lean on our congregations, we lean on our Christian leaders. So we have the Christian leadership where we can go and we can let them know about these scenarios that we're going through or that we're about to go through. We can let them know how we feel. And that way, once we get that, we reflect the understanding. And of course, like I said, our Christian leaders are people too, and some of them are also employed also. But, we should also know that there's a thing called lead by example. I know if there was a pastor mopping the floor, no matter how many people walk across that floor, that pastor would just say, praise God, Lord, give me strength, or something like that. And I think the last thing on their mind would be to turn a mop bucket over in somebody's head or go upset them, with the mop. It's just a matter of degree of, how you hold yourself and spiritually, if you can draw on yourself or if you can draw on to your spiritual leader. You don't have to, when you're facing, situations, you don't have to sit there and take it. You can take a break from that and you can go ahead and make that phone call to your pastor. You can make that phone call to your spiritual leader. You can make that phone call if you have a Christian friend at work, where you can say, hey, I'm having a bad time. You just can't believe what's happening. Same thing with, like I said, with an airline pilot. They go through stress and things like that. Normally with a situation where a pilot is going through a very stressful situation, one of the things that they're trained to do is let their employer know, because they don't want to have a stressed out pilot. They don't want to have a pilot that's, that's thinking about, whether he wants to commit suicide or life is unbearable, living without his girlfriend and spouse, or whatever marital problems and relationship problems, and mostly they just want to make sure that these guys are mentally sound, because like I said, they have other souls in their care, and that goes back to us. We don't know what souls are in our care. We're assigned certain souls that we're here to help. And that's one of the things, that we have to understand. you know, the soul, you know, our soul that we save, we're also saving many souls by saving ourselves, because we all at some point are leading by example. We all are at some point, someone has looked at us or looked upon us or even looking at us now, and how we walk and how we carry ourselves. Because to some people, it's truly amazing how we sidestep certain situations, certain dilemmas, certain situations where it seems to be, a small thing to a giant. And when those situations happen, and people are looking at us, and they look at us from top to bottom, from beginning to the end, of one incident to another, you know, that is, a thing of inspiration. It is basically a testimony that you have placed without even speaking a word. And basically, it's your unspoken testimony. When people watch you from afar, or just watching you from near, or someone's always watching or seeing, and just trying to figure out, you know, wow, how do they have the strength to do that, or how are they able to, you know, still carry on, still go out, go through everyday life, no matter where all kind of chaos is going around. You know, one of the things that I learned was about a hurricane and how destructive it is. And one of the things I learned about a hurricane is that no matter how destructive that hurricane is, if you're in the eye of that hurricane, everything is all calm. And, you know, if we remember that one of the things we see chaos and destruction all around us, just remember, you know, if you stay still and that chaos is swirling around you and going around you, long as you're not part of that, you know, you're safe. You know, even though you're in the eye of a hurricane, and like I said, the eye of the hurricane is calm. And even though chaos is going on around you, you're in the calm. And that's how we find find ourselves out of certain situations where we just let whatever chaos is going on around us, but we don't have to join in or participate. We eventually find our way out through that eye of that hurricane. And, one of the things we learn in life. And once again, I just want to let you know that we're broadcasting on www.blogtalkradio.com/PurposeKingdom. If you're listening online, greatly appreciate it. If you want to call in and comment, phone number to call in is 319-527-6091. And if you're a T-Mobile or Metro customer, you can call in at 323-870-4174. And anytime you want to join the conversation, just press 1, and we thank you so much. And speaking of, watching characters from afar, now, I've noticed, recently, there's been a whole big production of superhero movies. And through those superheroes, there is, always, something you can take out of it, even though it is, like I said, it's away from reality. It's a way to get away from reality. And one of the ones that, I've seen the Avenger movies, Captain America and all that, but one of the movies that I've watched before and that I seem to get a lot out of it, a lot of spirituality qualities, is Spider-Man. And that's part of one of his models is great responsibility. With great power comes great responsibility. And that's the title of my show tonight. So, of course, I'm just going to bring in, some of the observations I learned about, just basically Spider-Man. And Spider-Man pretty much he's pretty much, what we want to be as a Christian. And the reason why, I'm just going to real quickly just go ahead and mention it, then go ahead into the call on salvation. So basically, Spider-Man's motto is with great power comes great responsibility. Basically, his story is he got bit by a radioactive spider. He was a shy and awkward teenager in high school. And when the spider bit him, he just wasn't feeling right. He went to sleep and he woke up. His life was changed forever. This is basically what happens to us when we accept, Christ. Your life changes basically from that event, and you become a new creature, basically. And basically, that's covered in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And, you know, basically, you know, based on what, you know, the story of Spider-Man, it's the same thing. It's like when we become a Christian, you know, we cease looking out for ourselves and, you know, it's basically a power within ourselves. And it's the power of becoming, you know, becoming holy, living holy. And basically we more so not concentrate on ourselves, but we concentrate on helping others. And it becomes, you know, basically become a superhero in a sorts. Whereas though, basically, Spider-Man was wrestling with a whole lot of things. He was wrestling with what his uncle told him. What his uncle told him, and I'm not sure. Basically, the Spider-Man is an old story that his uncle, I guess, figured he was Spider-Man or whatever. He was telling him with great powers come great responsibility. And one of the things that Spider-Man learned was that by not using his powers, you know, or he could have stopped someone. That same guy that, you know, got away from him wound up killing his uncle. And that's when he realized the hard way that, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. And he remembered what his uncle told him. But he just only wished that he could enact those same things. And it's basically the same thing with our faith. You know, the real test of our faith is not just a belief that we have, and it's basically not, you know, going to church every Sunday morning. You know, the real faith is measured every day. It's measured doing how we help each other and how we care for one another. You know, whether we're helping someone that is hurting or someone that seems to be in that rut that they're hopeless. But everyone basically is called to, you know, support basically each other, and it is learning through, you know, that great power that we get, that we have great responsibility. You know, basically it is unlocking the fruit of our faith, and that's basically through our works. And we can we can refer to basically James and how James carried himself. And James meant basically what he said. And whatever, you know, James spoke, James, he wasn't a quiet guy, but it's like when he spoke, it was like everyone listened because he rarely, you know, spoke, you know, but when he did speak, you know, everyone would listen because they knew that if he says something, he has something really, you know, powerful to say. So, and one of the things that James said was in James chapter 2, verses 21, and he said, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on an altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of works, faith was perfected." And if I'm right, you know, James is referring to Abraham as he, you know, was going to sacrifice Isaac, was that he didn't half-heartedly offer up, you know, any old sacrifice. He offered up Isaac. And, you know, he wanted the people to know that, you know, hey, we just can't, you know, we are going to make sacrifices, but we're not just going to give up any old sacrifices. Just remember what Abraham did. And it's also a reminder that, you know, to us to be a Christian, you know, and basically let us know that if we do little to nothing to help, you know, others and you know, care for basically the needs of other people, you know, and we're claiming to be, you know, this or that. It's like basically, you know, he's telling us if we're claiming to be fishermen, but, you know, we don't bear heart, you know, we don't, when it's time for us to reap what we sow, if we don't go out and go ahead and, you know, to harvest the fish, and we bring nothing back, then it's like there's no need for you to call yourself a fisherman because you bear, you know, you didn't catch any fish. And it's also, you know, a lesson there, let us know that, you know, for a little cautionary measure, you know, that there are many people today who are basically great humanitarians. They have given, you know, basically their time and their money, you know, to the needy, and, you know, and they look out for the less fortunate. And, you know, they come from many different, you know, organizations like the Peace Corps, Habitat for Humanity, things of that nature. You know, and we all applaud their work and their sacrifices and all the time, that, you know, they care for, you know, basically the physical and, you know, needs of people. But they don't cover everything. They don't cover, you know, basically, you know, spiritually uplifting people. You know, like I said, they do the, you know, they cover as far as, you know, some of the things is they help out with what you can see and feel, but they don't help out spiritually. And, you know, when you partake and you do things like that and you see humanitarian, you know, opportunities that are being partaken, and you see that you know, then the last aspect, you know, spirituality, when that's not included in it, and you say, you know, I'm not saying it's a waste, but you're just saying, wow, what an opportunity wasted there. And basically, it, you know, when I was referring to Spider-Man, it's like what Peter Parker went through, where it was Spider-Man. He was trying to juggle his life. He was trying to get everything right, but he got everything wrong because he was juggling too many things and not concentrating on what was the main thing, which was, at the end of the day, he basically was Peter Parker. It's time for us to go on the call of salvation, so I'm going to call it salvation real quickly, and then we'll go back into our program. And the call of salvation is the opportunity for you to introduce Christ into your life. If you haven't done so, one of the best ways to do that is to just wholeheartedly open your heart and have that talk with him and let him know that, God, I've come to you as a sinner. I know I was born into sin. I know I've lived in sin, but I wish to change my life. I wish to change myself. I wish to transform and to believe in your word and to believe in the sacrifice that you sacrificed your only begotten son to die for my sins on the cross. For that I accept your gift. And for you, I wish you to welcome me into the kingdom of God. And, you know, once you admit to your, you know, that you're a sinner and that you wish to change, you know, and you've become a Christian. You've turned over a new leaf of life. Your life has begun anew. And welcome, citizens. And, you know, one of the best ways to, you know, express that is to let someone know. You can call someone. You can text them. The best avenue for you that you have of communications, just communicate and let someone know that you've changed your life and you gave your life over to Christ. And it's a good feeling. You can, like I said, tell your mom, tell your best friend, text someone, email somebody, or you can contact us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. We broadcast almost every night that we're able to broadcast, and we hope that you find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary that nurtures the word of Christ. If you can't find that, we're here, and you can contact us. You can contact us via email at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. You can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can tell us your conversion. You can simply say hello. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom, where you can do likewise. And we're also on www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom, where you can listen to this show or any other show in its entirety and at your convenience. You can simply just hit the show name or the host name, and you can listen to that show. And we thank you so much for doing so. Also, we're on Facebook at Purpose Kingdom, where you can just go ahead and like us or click, you know, you can find us there on Facebook, where you can see some of our upcoming advertisements. You can see some of our upcoming shows. You can see our lineup there. Also, starting on December 25th, we're going to start our year-end revival. And we'll have our lineup pretty soon, and we'll go ahead and we'll let you know who's going to be our lineup. And it's going to start off on December 25th at 9 p.m., and it's going to end on December 31st at the 11 p.m. hour as we welcome Christ in to the new year of 2020. And with God's will, God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at 8:30. I will be on with Self-Expressions. And it's going to start again, once again, at 8:30. I will be on. It's going to be Self-Expressions, and I will be your host. So please feel free to join us tomorrow evening, and I would thank you so much for that. And we also like to thank our listeners, no matter where you're listening at in the world. We thank you so much for listening to our broadcasts here at Purpose Kingdom Network. Also, don't forget, we have our morning walk of prayer that recently resumed. It's going to be on Anchor FM, and you can also go to anchor.com where you can listen to our morning walk in prayer. And any one of our social links, you can go ahead and hit a link to Anchor FM or anchor.com where you can also hear our morning inspiration. And as always, we thank you so much for listening to us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, and we're going to go ahead back and resume our show. And tonight's topic, with great powers come great responsibility. And as I was talking about, you know, Joel Embiid and Miles Garrett, and then we went on to Spider-Man. And I was using Spider-Man as an example because he has many similarities to what a Christian goes through. And the last part, I was talking about how he was trying to juggle his full-time life, trying to fight crime, and also maintain a career. And one of the things that I liked about the character Spider-Man is showing that his failure, and like I said, it was more so Christian-like. Basically, no matter what was going on with Jesus, he never gave in. He was going through a lot of things. He was going through being persecuted. He was going through being in the heat of when he was being crucified. And even all the way into the end, he never gave up. You know, Jesus understood his destiny, and he knew, you know, what his calling was, and it was to serve. You know, he could have taken the easy road and gave up, you know, for a normal life, and he could have said, you know what, it's not for me, Father, just get him to cut me loose, and I'll be going about my business. You know, he knew his purpose, and basically he was serving. He knew what it was to serve out what his father wanted him to do. And, you know, it's going to bring me to a chapter of Matthew, chapter 20, 26 to 28. And it goes, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants you to be first must be your slave. Just as Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And for that he gave, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So, surely that's the best example of, you know, with great powers come great responsibility. You know, and even though, you know, like I said, Spider-Man is, you know, even though he's a made-up character, he's basically a fleshly creation. So basically, he's basically human, and we all are human, and we all do fall through some of the laws of human nature. And even though we do fall through the laws of human nature, does not mean that we have to become a slave to what normally happens with what it is like to be, you know, being susceptible to the laws of, you know, what happens to one usually happens to another, but we don't have to, you know, fall into the domino effect. You know, one of the things that if you notice is that as Christians and as people in general, once, you know, the norm of the behavior is broken, as far as where someone says, yeah, I identify, or yeah, I'll do that too. As far as, you know, it's not normal to walk down the street and pick up a rock and throw it at windows. If it happened more often, everybody would be picking up rocks and throwing and breaking windows. You know, that's where I said, where though we fall into what all of a sudden is not acceptable becomes acceptable, when we fall into what becomes, as we see the norm, we see someone identifying what someone else is going through, and then we adapt that same attitude ourselves. You know, like I said, it's not the norm of walking down the street and breaking a window. If you ask the, you know, person, why did he break the window? He could say, you know what, someone simply walked by my house and threw a rock and broke my window, so I'm just returning the favor to someone else. And instead of asking that person and saying, hey, you know, that's not fair. How do you know? How do you know if that person broke your window or not? And he's like, well, I don't care if he did it or didn't. He's like, my window got broken, so I'm breaking his window. And then you probably look back and reflect and say, hey, I remember when my window was broken. You pick up a rock and you break someone else's window. You know, like I said, it's sometimes easy to fall into that, the trap of feeling though, you know, what one person goes through is the norm, and then when you experience the same thing or have experienced the same thing, you're experiencing the wrong empathy with that person, and then you enact and you take on the bad mannerism, bad characteristics of bad behavior and accepting it for the norm and justifying, you know, making an ends justify the means of what you've done. And like I said, I'll be on tomorrow evening, and, you know, we can go on and on, you know, with the sports topic. That's the reason why I've shifted it from, you know, Myles Garrett to our everyday life, because, you know, it's easy to, you know, identify with certain things. I wanted to show everyone that how we identify and we feel empathy for some of these sports figures. You know, we can easily let it creep into our lives, the bad qualities of that empathy that we felt for these players, and we can, you know, reflect it in our everyday lives and act out on it, you know, in such a negative way or violent way, because we feel as though the ends justify the means as far as the actions that we took in afterwards. With that being said, I have fun broadcasting. As always, I always do have fun broadcasting. Can't wait to next month, Self-Expressive Sports. On the second Friday, we'll be resuming Self-Expressive Sports Edition again. Until then, I'll see you tomorrow evening at 8:30. And don't forget, we'll talk about my album that I released, my Christmas album. And don't worry, I'll give you all the details on how you can get that album and all that. We're going to save that for tomorrow evening. And like I said, it's always been fun. You know, I love sharing my thoughts with you. And thank you for, you know, allowing me this evening to entertain you through sports. You know, I love doing it. I love doing any kind of broadcast, really, to tell you the truth, on Purpose Kingdom Network. And this will be continued next year in January. And like I said, be on the lookout for a lineup for our revival that we're going to be having. And like I said, that starts on December 25th. It's going to end December 31st at the 11 p.m. hour. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. I'm going to just leave you with this. You know, in sports, you know, winning is always fun. And winning is just, you know, something that we all like to experience. But, you know, there is a runner-up and a third place for a reason. And sometimes, even though we just can't be in first place all the time, just make sure that when we're in competition that we are enjoying the fun, and that is what it is. It's competition is for us to get away. It's not for us to be mean and hateful. As we, you know, participate in sporting events, we just have to make sure that sporting events is about, you know, fellowship, as far as enjoying the sport, just as well as we go to, you know, churches to, you know, to congregate, and, you know, we go there to fellowship with other church members, even though a lot of us don't do it in the same spirit. We just make sure that we're doing it in the spirit of what we most enjoy, and that is just having fun and praising God. So with that being said, I'm going to be out of here. Until next time, I'll see you. Deuces.
Jesus fled. He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose. Never wanna see me down, I will not lose. He saved me.